This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'd like to welcome our next guest to the show, Sandy Reed, career and interview coach. Hello there, Sandy.
Hi there, Jackie. Thanks very much for having me on your show.
Well, thanks for joining us and welcome to the Just Women show. So before we find out about your work as a career and interview coach, it'd be really interesting to find out a bit about your background. As I understand, you spent many years in business and management roles.
Yes, I did. Actually, I had quite a varied career that wasn't particularly linear, and I changed direction a few times. So as a career coach, it's given me huge benefits that, of course, I didn't realise at the time. But it's taken me through areas of finance, sales and marketing, HR training, customer services at different times, and then gradually worked my way up to senior management level. But right through my career, well, from probably, I suppose, from my 30s, the focus really was around people development, team leadership, helping people progress their careers. So I got to the stage in my career where I just realised I'd done as much as I wanted to in that business world, and wanted to do something that was more meaningful, would give me more fulfilment. And then that's when I started looking at the coaching side.
Right, and what sort of industries did you work in?
I worked for British Airways for about 14 years. I also worked in cycling industry, and I worked in, I was also adult education teacher. I was already teaching for a while and taught at education colleges, and then other areas I've worked in. Worked for Hondas for some years. So quite big company, big companies and small companies, to be honest, and public and private sector.
Yes, quite a wide range of different fields. So what happened then? What was your light bulb moment when you thought, right, I'm going to go and start up on my own?
My light bulb moment was quite a slow dimmer switch coming on, really.
Right.
For modern new light bulbs is coming on slowly. It became frustration in what I was doing, and that feeling that I had done it all before, and started to feel that I needed to do something different. Some of it was life stage, I think. I think I could recognise that I sort of, well, that feeling really, I'd done all this before and there wasn't anything new. And I needed that feeling of completely learning new, just taking myself into a new environment, really.
Right. And so did you then retrain as a coach?
I did indeed. I started off just investigating coaching because it interested me as a subject, and I did a life coaching qualification. And then I felt that didn't give me enough to specialise. And then I just looked into the career coaching side. And it was on by chance that I found that that this was something I could do. And then I went and did a master's at the University of East London. So that was quite a big thing because I didn't actually ever go to university. So, but I was very fortunate I was able to go and do a master's with them. I did a master's in career coaching.
Oh, I see. So, and what appealed to you about doing career coaching as opposed to any other form of coaching?
I think it is just that comes from my whole career. It's been very varied. I think there's definite times that I look back and think, gosh, if I'd had a career coach at that point, or somebody just giving me that coaching and just unpackaging what I wanted to get out of my career. I think there's definitely times that I would have taken a different direction and could have stayed in a career path that might have brought me more success at a different time, rather than sort of taking a perhaps sideways move that I hadn't necessarily thought out very well.
Right. And so you're now a career coach. So who are your typical clients? Who do you help?
My typical clients are usually professional in their roles, have been in their roles for some number of years. So possibly mid-career, professional role, early management, mid-management, anywhere around that area. But getting to that stage that I felt at times when, what should I do next? Should I carry on in this path? Do I want to do something different? Am I bored? Do I want to go and look somewhere else? Do I want to just completely change my direction? I also work with quite a lot of women who are coming back from career breaks, because I went through the same thing myself with when I had my son and had a career break, and then a bit of reinvention to go back into a different career, because the career that I had, I did go back into my job, and then I was made redundant. So I experienced both redundancy and career break.
Okay, well, I would imagine during the pandemic, you must be very busy, because there have been so many people who have been furloughed and then they're made redundant. Has this been the case?
Yes, I'm seeing quite a lot of people made redundant at the moment, which is unfortunate. I think there's a lot of that to come. I think there's also a lot of people that the pandemic has given them a chance to just rethink what they want to do, and are having some thoughts about whether their job is what they want to do. And I think there's a lot of thought processes going on. And I saw that quite a lot last year, as people were just rethinking everything through about what their career was giving them. So yes, I've seen a lot of both sides, actually.
Yes. And so to someone who is being made redundant, what advice do you have for them?
Well, it's a difficult thing. There is so much that's involved in that whole redundancy. If they have a package that's coming from their employer, then take everything that is available, whether that's CV writing, LinkedIn writing, career coaching, just advice on the job market. Quite a lot of companies do offer that. It's something people can negotiate as part of their redundancy. But if that's not available, then do seek out people that can help, and really
people like you
help you through that. People like me to help through that.
How do you personally help people who've gone through redundancy? If I was made redundant tomorrow and I came to see you, how would you help me?
So it's the whole package that I do, really. So it is from the career coaching, understanding what if that's still the career that they want, if it is. Working through the roles. Some people, if they're coming out of redundancy, have been in a job for quite a long time, may not have had interviews, may not have a current CV, may not know the different areas to now look for jobs, that it's now, you know, there's such a lot of stuff on LinkedIn. So talking through that, if they're really looking to make quite a change, or think this is their opportunity to either set up on themselves or look for a new job, then it's talking through their options like that. That then leads nicely into getting their CV ready, because the career coaching focuses quite a lot on the strengths, and it's really drawing people's strengths out. And if they've been in a role for quite a long time, sometimes you can lose track of what those strengths are, or just narrow them down to two or three. And everybody really has sort of double figures of strengths that they can bring to a role.
Yes, of course, a lot of people have lost confidence, haven't they, being made redundant. They have to be reawakened as to what their strengths are.
Absolutely. And the CV process even does that as well. It's all part of the coaching process, because it can take you back into your previous roles and identifying what the strengths are. And sometimes you can really focus on the role that you've just left, and whether it was good, bad or whatever. You focus on everything that you've done on that. But you know, there's other things that have shaped you and got you there. So the CV process looks at all of that. It's very confidence building, actually.
Yes. So with the CV writing, do you actually take the whole job in hand? Do you write their CV for them, or do you just simply consult them and say, this is what you should do?
I'm a CV writer, so more often than not, I do write CVs, but it does depend on somebody's level. If they're at a certain level that they want to take that on themselves, because they can then develop it and get a CV, then I coach them through that. It often just depends, as I say, on levels. The more senior somebody is, or the longer that they've perhaps had a career, they are quite complex documents to pull together yourself. Yes. Earlier in your career, with some guidance and some support in working through the strengths, it's not such a difficult document to write for yourself. So again, I work with my clients to see where they are with that. And, you know, budget comes into that as well.
And what are the biggest mistakes people make in their CVs?
Oh, well, the obvious ones that people always say are spelling mistakes and errors like that. But The biggest one is really the biggest thing to think about CV is relevance. What is relevant to the person that you're wanting to employ you? What roles have you had that are relevant? What skills did you do that are relevant? If you did jobs that are 20 years ago that have no relevance to what you're going to be doing next or what you've been doing recently, they can be left off your CV. There could be things that you did years ago as interests or as exams that you did as the just were sort of pastime type things. But if they're not relevant to the CV, the main thing is it doesn't have to be an absolute historical document. It's a document that shows what's relevant about you to the role that you're going for. So that's the strongest thing that I always say. Keep it relevant. Don't bring in too much that is not relevant to the reader.
Okay, and another service you offer is the LinkedIn writing. I suppose LinkedIn is very, very important these days for getting jobs.
LinkedIn is. It's becoming more and more so. It's been around for a while, but I think now, again, it's upping. It's getting more important for people. Again, it does depend on the level somebody's working at. Not every industry needs LinkedIn. Not all jobs go through that. Not all levels of roles do you need LinkedIn. But at certain levels in your career, then LinkedIn is really, really important. It's important for finding jobs, that exists anyway, but also recruiters use LinkedIn such a lot. So that's where it really helps, is because you can be found then by recruiters.
Okay, and you would help people with that. And
yes, I do, absolutely. Yeah.
One of the very important things you do is interview coaching. I would imagine these days that's very crucial because people are being interviewed on Zoom all the time, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have advice and tips how people should present themselves in an interview on Zoom?
Yes, I do. I do take my clients through that whole process as well, because, again, it all fits together nicely. If you've got a good CV, and your CV is really reflecting who you are, it just kind of complements and works through to how you're going to answer those interview questions, because you already know then what your strengths are, what your key areas are, any achievements and so on. So the interviewing is a follow on from that. And yeah, you're right. The whole Zoom interview has changed things. There are some advantages. You can have a few notes there. You can have a few post-its in front of you to just remind yourself about something that you want to make sure that you say in the interview, or, you know, some key strengths that you want to get across. You can make a few notes very surreptitiously. You don't want to have a script that you're reading from. You want to make sure you get eye contact as well as you can on a Zoom screen. The other thing that I really say to people is just look at your backdrop. If you, like me, have been sort of studying all the backdrops on news on the television and so on and passing comment, you know, just make sure your backdrop is like clean and clear and uncluttered, so the interviewers just focus on you sitting there and they're not trying to identify what pictures, well, not pictures, but what books or whatever, any clutter that's behind you.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, keep it as clean as possible. Test out how you're using Zoom. I do a test on with people. I do online mock interviews. Test how that's going to look. Get somebody to do that across the internet, and try and set up your screen so that you can actually, as close as you can, be getting eye contact, so that you're not staring up at a screen or staring right down, but as much as possible getting eye contact with the interviewers.
Yes, because that's very important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. And so how do you charge for your services?
I charge individually for my services, actually, because they all vary. It really is that no two clients are the same. CVs all have very different amounts of work involved.
But is it per hour or per session?
No, it's per so for the CVs per item. For coaching is per hour. So I start from £85 for an entry level CV, and then it usually goes from about £125 for a mid range CV. But it does depend on the work involved. I've got all my prices all quite clear on my website.
Yes, and how many sessions on average would somebody have with you for their career or their interview?
Well, it's a nice thing with career coaching, actually, because it is something that you get to the heart of quite quickly, and people can do a lot of work outside of the session. So it's not like something that you need to sign up for weeks and weeks. Most career coaching is done within about 3 to 4 sessions. And interview coaching is usually about 2 sessions usually, and then plus a mock interview and feedback.
Right. Okay.
So I try to keep my prices very, very fair and not extortionate at all.
Okay then. Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about that, Sandy. Would you like to give us your website details, please, so that people can get more information?
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you. So my website is sandyreedcoaching.co.uk.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you.
That was Sandy Reed, career and interview coach.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.